All right. Acts chapter 9. It's the conversion of Saul of Tarsus. And it starts like this. Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest. He asked for letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. I'm going to stop right there just for a second. Still breathing threats and murder. Sounds vicious and violent, doesn't it? I think that's the point. That's the point that he wants to get across to the people, is that don't think that Paul was like, he was a short guy for one thing. Now, I say he was a short guy. The writing of the day, a historian, says he was a short guy. He was bald. He had one eyebrow. He had bowed legs and all this kind of stuff. He was still breathing threats and murder. Breathing threats and murder against the disciples. He wanted them. He went to the Sanhedrin. He went to got the letters for ones at the church in Damascus, and he was going to bring them bound to Jerusalem, and he was on his way. I want to take a mention there right quick. He asked for letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so if he found any who were of the way. The way was the way that they refer to the early church. The way. I always wonder why, you know, we have so many names now. You know, we have Encounter Church, we have First Baptist Church, we have Second Baptist Church, Third Baptist Church, all these things. Nobody's the way. Nobody's the way. I have written down in there all the references in Acts to the when they were referred to as the way. I want to read a couple of references as to why they might have been referred to as the way. Hebrews chapter 16, verse 17. And this was a little girl who was the fortune teller. And this girl followed Paul and us, cried out saying, "These men are the Most High God who proclaimed to us the way of salvation." She was filled with a demon, and she was declaring that they were declaring to them the way of salvation. 15 through 26 of chapter 18. No, that can't be right, or can it? 25 and 26 is what it is. "This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things he knew, only the baptism of John." The church of the way, they proclaimed their lives, professed the way of Christ. They professed the true way. They professed the way of salvation. They professed the way of God. That's what our life should profess. They should profess the way of salvation. They should profess the way of God. And they should profess the way of life. Try to say that fast three times. They forget it. But they did. They did. They professed it. And we should too. That was just a side note. So now here we get to our message. As they journeyed and became near, and he came near Damascus, suddenly a great light shone around him from above, and he fell to the ground, and he heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said to him, "Who are you, Lord?" And the Lord said to him, "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. It's hard for you to kick against the goads." So he, trembling and astonished, said, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" And then the Lord said to him, "Arise, go to the city, and you will be told what to do, and you will be told what you must do." The men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no one. Then Saul, from the ground, and with his eyes were open, he saw no one, but was led by him and by the hand, and brought him to Damascus. And he was there 3 days without sight, and he neither ate nor drank. Man, he saw letters. He headed out for Damascus. But when he got near, he saw a bright light. Listen, this is this word for a bright light, and he heard a voice. The word for a bright light was the word flashed. It flashed. This word is only used 2 times in the Bible, and it's used both times in reference to Paul and his conversion experience. It's not used at all in classical Greek. This was a unique word. It was a unique light that he saw. This was the glory of God. He saw it. He blinded him, knocked him down. This wasn't just a bright light. It wasn't just the sun shining extra bright. This wasn't an epileptic seizure that he had. This was a bright light, the glory of God, that shined on him and shined around him. The others, some ways, heard a voice, but didn't necessarily hear him speak. He said, "What do you want me to do?" First he said, "Who are you, Lord?" He said, "I'm Jesus." When no mistaking about it, he met Jesus. God made an arrest. God made an arrest. Arrested him right there. "What do you want me to do, Lord?" From then it was, "What do you want me to do?" He said, "It's Jesus. It's hard for you to kick against the goads." And it was a reference to him. The goad would be a long stick with a sharp pointed end. And they would poke when they would drive their oxen, they would poke them in the back and they would stop and kick. And every now and then they would kick that goad. He said, "It's hard for you to kick against the goads, isn't it, Paul? What do you want me to do, Lord? I'll do it. Whatever it is you want me to do, I'll do it." He thought he was doing something for God. He did. How many of you think you are doing something for God? The Old Testament scriptures say, "Cursed is everyone who hanged on a tree." Cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. Would you take a curse? A curse to nobody? And would you make them the Messiah? Would you make the Messiah a curse to nobody? Better way to say it, because he didn't make him the Messiah, he was the Messiah. He stumbled over the cross. Paul, Hebrew of Hebrews, he stumbled over the cross. He depended on his own righteousness. And Philippians 3:9, let me go ahead and read it to you. Give you plenty of time to get there. Philippians 3:9, "And he found him, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God," Amen, "is by faith." He didn't have a righteousness of his own. Only his righteousness came through faith in Christ. Let me ask you this. What is your righteousness found in? Is it found in anything that you do? Is it found in any of your ways, any of your works, any of your own, your righteousness in Christ? God made an arrest. Maybe he's trying to arrest you today. Maybe you just need to give in. He came to realize that Jesus was alive. Jesus was alive, and he had to repent. That's right. Because Jesus was alive, he had to repent. Let me say that again. Because Jesus was alive, he had to repent. Many people believe in Jesus, but they don't have any repentance. He had to repent. He had to turn his back on his old life. But it's not so important that you turn your back on your old life. You do turn your back on your old life. But what's really important is who you turn to. And that is God. I turn my life to God. And I give my life to God. And I take no other way. I turn my life over to him because he's alive. He's alive. Because he's alive, that means everything that he said was true. He was a lost sinner. A lost sinner. He needed a savior as bad as anyone. Serving God was, he thought he was serving God, but really, he was persecuting the Messiah. The Messiah, Jesus. How many of us think that we're serving God, but we're persecuting the Messiah? How many of us think that we're serving God, but in essence, we're doing something else? We're doing something that was against the Messiah. He was to become an apostle to the Gentiles. Look at what, he was to become an apostle to the Gentiles. You know, sometimes, not sometimes, most of the time, God's got a little sense of humor. I mean, really, I've told you about me, my background, you know, basically not a people person. Okay, well, you're going to be a pastor. Well, I don't like school. Well, okay, you're going to have to study. You know, all this kind of stuff. Think of Paul. Think of Paul. A Hebrew of Hebrews. Well, you're going to be an apostle to the Gentiles. To the Gentiles. We can't really understand that. We don't really understand that. But Paul was a Hebrew of Hebrews. He was part of a chosen people. He was of the right race. He was of the right person. He was of the right nation. And God said, well, Paul, I'm going to send you to a different nation. Amen. And you're going to let them know. You're going to go from being the persecutor to being a preacher. You're going to proclaim the way of God. You're going to go from being legalistic to being a proclaimer of grace. Think about that. He was legalistic. He was legalistic. He believed it was in what you do and in what you say and in what you think. He believed you had to be a part of the right people. He believed you had to have the right marks and all this. And yeah, he became a proclaimer of grace. I want to look for a minute at Ananias. There was a certain man back in chapter 9, verse 10. There was a certain man, a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias, and he said, here am I. So the Lord said to him, arise, go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he is praying. And in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming to him, putting his hand on him, so that he might receive sight. Then Ananias answered and said, Lord, I have heard from many people about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And there he has authority from the chief priests to build up, to bind to all who call on your name. And the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen vessel to bear my name before the Gentiles, kings of the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer. Ananias went his way and entered the house, saying, Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once. And he arose and was baptized, and then he received food, and he was strengthened. And then Saul spent some time with the disciples at Damascus. So he goes to Ananias. Lord does. Ananias, you got to go. Ananias says, not so fast, Lord. I've heard about this guy. And he's done bad things to your people. He says, Ananias, you go. I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. Doesn't sound like health and wealth. Paul did suffer too. Some things you can learn from Ananias. Well, one main thing. God can use the most obscure and unlikely person to bring his gospel and his Holy Spirit to someone. The most unlikely person. We know nothing else about Ananias other than this right here. But God used him. Why? Why did he get to do it? Why wasn't it Peter? Peter got the privilege of being the one that brought the Holy Spirit to the rest of the world. Why didn't he get to do it? I don't know. Maybe God wanted to separate. He wanted to separate the gospel to the Gentiles from Hebrews. That's why he chose a Hebrew, but in his fashion, he made him a proclaimer of grace. Why couldn't he? I don't know. Let me do this right quick. Immediately, he preached Christ in the synagogue that he is the Son of God. Then all who heard were amazed and said, Is this not he who destroyed those who called on his name in Jerusalem and has come here for the purpose that he might bring them bound to the chief priests? Saul increased it all the more in strength and confounded the Jews and all who dwelt in proving that Jesus is the Christ. Now, after many days were passed, the Jews plotted to kill him, but their plot became known to Saul, and they watched the gates night and day to kill him. And the disciples took him by night and let him down in a large basket. And then Saul came over to Jerusalem, and he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of them and did not believe that he was a disciple. So then Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, and he declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road, and that he had spoke to them, and how he had preached Damascus in the name of Christ. So he was with them at Jerusalem, coming in and going out, and he spoke boldly in the name of Jesus Christ, disputed against Hellenists, but they tempted to kill him when the brethren found out, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him out to Tarsus. Now, the only reason I read all that, because it sounds like it all happens in a few days. It sounds like it all happens in a few days, does it? Yeah. Galatians. I got to get back here. So, remember, he's saved. Then there's a period where it doesn't say. It says after many days, there was a period. But it pleased God, to whom he separated from his mother's womb, to reveal his grace in me, to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles. I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to see those who were apostles, but I went to Arabia and then returned to Damascus. So he went to Arabia, and then he came back to Damascus, And he's preaching pretty good now. He's got a pretty good handle on things. And they couldn't withstand his preaching. They plotted to kill him. The disciples let him down by the rope in a basket. And then after, then, let's see how much, if I need to read any more of this. Let me just read chapter 2, verse 1. Then after 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, and he also took with Titus with me. Then after 14 years, he went up again to Jerusalem. They didn't want to have anything to do with him. They heard that he was coming to Christ. But then Barnabas took him to the disciples. Barnabas, what a guy. No, really, he was. Why don't you be a Barnabas? If you're here today and you see someone here that you don't know, why don't you be a Barnabas? Why don't you go to that person? Why don't you see somebody here suffering? Why don't you go to them? You see somebody here who needs Christ? Why don't you go to them? Why don't you take them? Why don't you take them to the preacher? You see somebody here who's got it a certain way? Why don't you be a Barnabas and take them to the apostles? Why don't you? Dads, why don't you be like Paul, Saul of Tarsus? Come to know Christ. I can't tell you how important it is for you to come to know Christ. Amen. Rest of you, be a Barnabas to somebody. Stand up with me if you would. I don't know where you are. I know where you are, but I don't know where you are. I don't know where you are in your relationship with God. I don't know what you need to do in your relationship with God. I don't know, but God knows. And more importantly, you know. You know in your life what you need to do with God. You know in your life, if you are right with him, you know. If you need to come today for any reason, you come. Come see me. Come kneel at the altar and pray. Pray where you are. Whatever you need to do today, you do it.